for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 365 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Again, this week I'm having trouble with my voice, but I think you're going to still enjoy the interview I have with Frank Martin from Modern Testament and Luke Cooper from Hollow Girl. They brought their talents together and have created a wonderful book called Hollow Testament. And it's available now on Kickstarter. If you look up Hollow Testament, you'll find it there. And as of the release of this podcast, they have met their $700 goal and are in the process of putting out really good stretch goals. So I highly recommend that you go and check out this wonderful anthology book that has tremendous characters and loads of surprises along the way. We talk about Hollow Testament and how it came together, as well as other projects both Luke and Frank have going on. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they have to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show.
Hi, I'm Frank Martin, creator of Modern Testament.
And I'm Luke Cooper, creator of Hollow Girl.
On the surface, both of our comics couldn't be further apart. One is an anthology that follows ancient beings in modern times, and the other is a gritty, supernatural action thriller about one girl's quest for revenge.
But they're actually more alike than you might think. Hollow Girl at its core is driven by deep biblical themes like vengeance and restless spirits, which makes her perfect to go up against a cast of mythological creations.
Following the same format as Modern Testament, Hollow Testament contains three standalone short stories pitting Hollow Girl against a different biblical being in each one.
She will have to face off against Joan the Divine, Cain, and Death as she continues her mission to help tortured souls find peace.
It's great to welcome back to the podcast Luke Cooper from Hollow Girl and Frank Martin from Modern Testament. And they've got an interesting project that brings the two of those books together. How are you doing today, Luke?
Yeah, not bad.
Okay, and you, Frank?
I'm doing just fine.
All right. I think what we should do, because you've got two separate projects, and we have talked about them before, but I always want to make sure people understand what it is that we're referring to. So we'll start with you, Luke. Why don't you give people a description of what Hollow Girl is about?
I've been trying to figure out the simplest way to explain Hollow Girl, and the best I came up with is a medium with guns. So she's basically a character who takes on the souls of vengeful spirits and then exacts vengeance on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. How many years have you been making it?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I just keep doing it. I don't know how long it's been going on for.
Okay, now, you guys both worked at a company that kind of went under. And are you self-publishing now? Is that what you're doing, Luke?
Actually, I've joined forces with Everett Hartzo, the creator of Razor. Mm-hmm. And now I publish through his new comic line called Occult Press.
Okay. So, all right, that's good. How many issues have you put out so far? Do you remember?
Well, there are 10 issues with Insane Comics, which we've recently repackaged mm-hmm. in Occult Press, and I'm working on book 3 for the new series. But those aren't comics, they're graphic novels, so they're about 48 pages of story each.
Okay. All righty. So now let's move to Frank. You've done Modern Testament, and we've talked about that several times, but there's always new people who don't know the stuff we've talked about before. So why don't you describe Modern Testament?
Modern Testament is essentially an anthology series, a bunch of different shorts that run along the themes of placing biblical beings or characters from biblical mythology in a modern setting, as you see oftentimes in, let's say, DC Comics' is Lucifer or Marvel's Ghost Rider, or it's kind of around that sort.
Okay. And you've done, what, 3 volumes of that?
I did 4 volumes with Insane, And then Insane went under right before the trade was released, so I self-published the trade. And now it's kind of moved into a new phase, which we're here to talk about today.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we go back to Luke and talk about Hollow Testament, which brings these books together. Can you give an idea as to how this process happened? Did you guys know each other from Insane? Is that how this worked?
Yeah, that's it. It was something we talked about a long time ago. We'd actually worked together on a short story, which we're still trying to find a home for. And then Frank suggested maybe the idea of bringing these two stories together. And because Hollow Girl is such a, well, it's not far away from that kind of biblical element anyway, because of the supernatural connection and the fiends of vengeance and so on. So we figured, yeah, this works. This totally works.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Frank, how did you guys coordinate? I mean, you must have used the social media and Skype and things like that, because Luke is over in Europe and you're over here in America. And I imagine you guys haven't been in the same place yet, you know, no. So how'd that work?
The wonders of modern technology. you can contact, converse with people in an instance at any time, just through either Facebook messaging or whatnot. And I mean, sometimes I would send a message and Luke would be asleep, and I'm sure sometimes he would send a message and I'll be asleep and we get to it when we get to it. But we did a good job coordinating and throwing ideas back and forth. And over time, we sculpted the stories in the way that we felt were fitting. And before we knew it, we had a comic.
What's interesting is you're following, you guys are borrowing elements from each of your own books. And from Modern Testament, you've got the three individual stories, you know, sort of an anthology set up for that. Now, you wrote the second two. You gave me a chance to look it over, which I really enjoyed. I thought it was a great book. You did the second two. How did you do that? Did you draft a script and then get it to Luke and Luke would look at it? How did you do that?
Well, the first thing we needed to do was we needed to figure out what characters. We threw out a bunch of ideas. I came up with two right off the bat, and then Luke came up with one, and I gave him some suggestions and ideas for his story, and he drafted it out, and he sent it over me, and I thought it was perfect. And then when he said that the characters that I chose were good fits, I wrote up my scripts and sent them over to him to same approval.
Mm-hmm. Now, Luke, the first one, I think, is like a framing sequence of sorts. I think it kind of introduces Hollow Girl to people who may not have seen her before. Was that how did that go? I mean, did you have an idea as to what you wanted to do? I mean, Frank said he gave you some suggestions. How did you put the story together?
Well, it was Frank, as soon as he said it was a biblical story, well, there was only one thing I really wanted to tackle, and that's the Book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And it gave me an opportunity to take Hollow Girl on from a different angle. Because Hollow Girl avenges people that are already dead. And Joan the Divine, a kind of feminized version of John the Divine, is given her the opportunity to stop something terrible before it happens. The basic premise was, in the Book of Revelation, John the Divine sees these demons rising from the deep. And I don't know if John was on mushrooms or what when he was having these revelations, but some people have suggested that maybe what he actually is seeing is our prophecies of things to come. So I had Joan the Divine being someone who believes that she's seeing these terrible things that are symbols of terrible events that they could put a stop to, and she uses Hollow Girl as her instrument to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the story is called Divine. I think you did the art too, right?
Yes, but in a slightly different style. For the crossovers, I wanted it to be more of a comic book feel and less of that kind of more realistic horror feel that I usually go for.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen advertisements of the book where you actually talk about a little bit about the spider. Do you want to talk a little bit about the spider and how that has to do with the story?
Well, it's symbolic more than anything. There's a few kind of hideous monsters that appear in the story, but I don't want to give too much away.
Right, right.
The spider is not literally a spider creature. It is how Joan the Divine sees a particular person and what he represents.
Mm-hmm. And of course, she does her usual Hollow Girl stuff, which is, always a little horrific, but it's interesting to see a girl character do this. Because so often, you know, the Punisher is a guy. People who go around with guns and stuff are usually guys. So to see her, you know, doing what she's doing is really kind of interesting to see. So I never can get past that. I always find that interesting.
Well, I think that's the trick of writing a good female character, is that you shouldn't be too hung up on the differences between male and female. I mean, she can do all the same things a male character can do. She just looks better doing them.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I really like that. So, all right, Frank, let's talk a little bit about your stories. You, of course, are not really an artist per se. You probably could draw if you needed to, but you have artists who did it.
100% false. I cannot draw at all.
Okay, all right.
No, so, I know some writers, every once in a while, I'm following some writers on Twitter and Facebook, and they said, hey, I decided to do a drawing of my character, and it's phenomenal. I cannot do that at all.
Well, at least you know that. That's an important thing, because there are a lot of people who think they can draw, and they don't necessarily do it well.
I know my weaknesses.
So, are these artists you've worked with in the past? You've got, I think, is the same artist on both of the stories?
No, it's separate artists. Mm-hmm.
So how did you get them? Did you know them from the past?
No, I kind of just went, I scrolled through the artists that are online, their portfolios, and I just wanted to grab two that I felt would encompass that kind of black and white, noir, dark, gritty feel that can still carry a kind of a supernatural element to it.
Now, see, you've touched on something I think is important, is the fact that the book is black and white. Because if I remember correctly, both your books were black and white before. This isn't the first time you guys have done black and white.
No, all of Modern Testament stories are in color.
Okay.
I obviously felt that if we're going to do a Hollow Girl story, it's got to be in black and white. So,
what was that like working in black and white?
I would say it was a little bit of a change, kind of refreshing, in that I didn't have to focus too much on any sort of play on colors when I was developing the story, and it felt fairly straightforward. But at the same time, it's kind of strange because black and white is contrast. It's either black or white. But Hollow Girl deals in a very gray area. So it was kind of fun to delve into that kind of aspect of it.
Now, the third story was called Brotherly Love, and I really enjoyed it. You know, you talk about biblical stuff, and there's a biblical thing going on in that. I mean, can you talk about that, or is that something you want to hang on to it for the moment?
Well, you want to narrow down your question a little bit so I can maybe talk about it, answer it.
Okay, Brotherly Love is the third story, and it has to do with an early biblical character, shall we say.
I mean, we could say. So the premise of the story is Hollow Girl becomes, as Luke was saying, a medium with guns. So in this case, the spirit that she's channeling is Abel from the Bible, who was famously killed by his brother Cain. So in this story, which I thought was perfect for Hollow Girl, Abel takes over Cain's body in order takes over Hollow Girl's body, I should say, in order to enact his revenge on Cain, who after the Bible is doomed to walk the earth forever as an immortal.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting, but to me, one of the most interesting things is what happens after Abel leaves Hollow Girl's body, and I don't want to spoil that because it's a really good surprise. But I thought that, you know, once Abel was satisfied, the story was over, but it wasn't. So I got a huge kick out of that story. It's really interesting that she doesn't necessarily only do what the person wants.
Yeah, Hollow Girl is an interesting character in that she voluntarily allows herself to become a vehicle for the spirits, but she is her own person. She's got her own backstory. She's got her own feelings, her own emotions, and Luke's really created a very black and white, but at the same time, dynamic character in that sort. She was a lot of fun to write, and I thank him a lot for allowing me the opportunity. Mm-hmm.
So, Luke, how about you? As far as going into shorter stories like Modern Testament, was that because you're used to writing, like, some of your stories, I think, took several issues to come together, if I'm not mistaken. What was it like to write a short story as opposed to that?
Well, the very first Hollow Girl story was actually only about 6 pages long.
Okay.
But then it got commissioned into a larger graphic novel by another company that went under, which sort of suggested to me that maybe Hollow Girl is cursed. to bring in down the company, the publisher. Uh-huh. But I like writing short stories. And when I first got started, one of my biggest jobs was with a magazine called Murky Depths, and I'd do a serial, like a 9-page serial in that every, like, I think it was quarterly. So it was fun for me to actually go back and work in that old style, because sometimes that's more fun than trying to work out a long narrative.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that's interesting about Hollow Girl, and Nathan's talked about, or Frank's talked about a little bit, is that she is a channel for other people. And in his story, in the third story, he points out that she may not be satisfied with what the person wants all the time. Have you touched on that before, or is that kind of new to the character?
Well, I decided to let Frank have his own interpretation of it. And okay. That story in particular, I love. I really, really enjoyed that one. And I think Matt Schultz's art is fantastic in that book. I love the way he drew Hollow Girl's mask as sort of like almost like a China doll. It looked really beautiful. I don't know. I mean, for me, the stuff I'm writing on Hollow Girl now is a little bit different to that. She's more that she feels like she doesn't exist beyond the spirits within her. So what Frank did is his own interpretation. And I was very willing to let him do that, in the same way that Tyler Carpenter did his own version of Hollow Girl for the Demons comic. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like seeing how other writers and artists handle the character, because I think she is open to interpretation. So I quite enjoyed seeing Frank's ideas.
So as long as the basic Hollow Girl's there, you don't mind people kind of stretching it a little here and there?
No, not really. I mean, that's why I drew the artwork in a slightly different style for this book, to say that this is the Hollow Girl for this book, and I've got my other slightly different version. It's like you mentioned the Punisher earlier, and every time a different writer takes on the character, he will bring his own slightly different way of seeing him. So it's the same thing for Hollow Girl. I think it's a character who can be adapted in that way.
I just always think Hollow Girl would make a great movie. It needs to be like a Halloween-type movie.
Well, we're working on it. The new publishing house, Everett Hartsoe's got his character, Razor, into a movie. So he's trying to do the same thing for other characters, and I think he wants to do something with Hollow Girl in that regard. Mm. But it's very, very early days at the moment.
And you never know. I mean, these deals, even if they make production, the film may never see it released just for whatever reason behind the scenes. So you kind of have to be patient and see what happens. So if somebody was to make a Hollow Girl movie and they did a different interpretation, you'd be okay with that?
Well, it depends how different, you know. I think I'm realistic enough to know they'd probably make the character a bit sexier and perhaps try to give her more of a backstory. What I'm trying to do now is kind of pull back on the backstory, because I feel like the less you know about the character, the more interesting she is. So the entire Insane Comics run, they went very deep into the origin story, and I'm trying to maybe I regret going so deep into what drives her. I think it's more interesting when it's just you don't know who she is. She's just a creepy girl in a mask who turns up, does terrible things, and then disappears. So I think that's what I'd hope for in a movie. As you said, Halloween is quite a good model for that.
Oh, yeah.
But what if Michael Myers was the hero? What if he was the good guy?
Yeah. See, that's the thing that's important about this. I always, when I see books, I just think there are certain times of the year that stories would do well, like Klaus by Grant Morrison. That's always perfect on Christmas. And they managed to put a new Klaus story out, and it came out just before Christmas this year. And I was like, wow, that was good timing, because normally these things end up coming out after the holiday, and then all the fun's out of it. You know, it's hard to read a Christmas story in the middle of February.
He had one last year, too.
Yeah. Well, he had an ongoing or a miniseries. It was like 8 to 12 issues. I can't remember off the top of my head. And it still was coming out in April, and I remember thinking, I'm not sure how many people want to read, Klaus in the middle of April. I'm just not sure how that's going to work. But these stories, and even Modern Testament, I think would work well with a Halloween kind of a feel to it. I mean, what do you think, Nathan? I mean, if you were to pick a time of the year that would be the ideal time to release anything that's Modern Testament or related to it, when would you choose?
It depends on the story, because there's some that are so different than others. Mm-hmm. Some are very darker, and they're lighter, and they definitely have a more Halloween feel to it. Others, I don't want to call them uplifting, but and they're not even lighter, but the atmosphere, the tone of the story feels lighter, and it could do well or in more springtime. Mm-hmm.
I always think supernatural stuff around Halloween is what hits me. Although some of their stories probably would be fine around Christmas and stuff like that. So it's tough to know what those kind of things. Okay, so you guys have done this first issue, and I really enjoyed it, and I hope it goes over real big. Any plans for more of these in the future, or was this kind of you've satisfied that itch right now?
Well, Modern Testament, I'm planning this to be kind of a little bit of a series in and of itself. I'm kind of informally calling Modern Crossovers. I have a couple other people I've reached out to, and they said they would be interested in doing the same. Hmm. I don't know if we have any more Hollow Testament down the line, but let's see how the Kickstarter does, which is going to be launching soon, or I guess when this is released, it should be already in the run.
Yeah. Now, are you the one that's managing the Kickstarter, or is Luke? Are you guys working on it together? How's that working, Frank?
I'm putting it together. I'm the one that's running it. It's under my name, but I've been sharing stuff with Luke along the way. So he's definitely had his finger on the pulse.
Of course, you've had experience with Kickstarters in the past. So, I mean, with doing this one, did you have to do anything differently for this one?
Not so different. I mean, I kind of still followed the same formula as far as crafting the page. One thing I did do is I collaborated with Luke on our Kickstarter video. We both appear in it, which was pretty cool to have both the creators working together in order to have the video up and running.
That's good. Now, how about you, Luke? I don't remember if you've done Kickstarters or crowdfundings in the past. Have you?
I did one before a long time ago when we were first trying to get Hollow Go off the ground with a British publisher, but it didn't go so well. These days, actually, all of the new Hollow Go books are done through Kickstarter, but we kind of have our way of doing it, which seems to be working. I got to say, I'm looking at a mock-up of Frank's Kickstarter page right now, and it does look amazing. He's done a really great job with this. And I've got to thank Frank for being like the driving force behind this, because I've been so busy since the move to a cold press. I've been kind of having to write and draw books and then go back and letter some stuff for Hollow Testament as well. So I've been leaning on Frank to try and keep the ball rolling, and he's done a fantastic job.
Okay. All right, so it's Kickstarter. Now, we're recording this a little early, but when does the Kickstarter end, Nathan?
Frank,
sorry. Why do I keep doing that? I don't understand that. Anyway, Frank, I don't know why Nathan sticks in my head, but Frank.
When does the Kickstarter end? So it starts on the 14th, mm-hmm. which would be January 14th, which is Monday. Mm-hmm. It ends on January 28th, so it's going to be running for 2 weeks.
Okay. Because most people do like a month. I mean, was there a reason why you wanted the two-week format?
No, I mean, it's a black and white book, so our expenses were a little bit are going to be a little bit less as far as printing goes. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to have as big a funding goal as some other projects. And Kickstarters they're a marathon. You know, they're exhausting when you're in the middle of them, and you're nowhere close to the end, and you're trying to push, and every day you're trying to get a little bit more during that dead zone.
Yeah.
So shortening it up and making it more of a little intense 2 weeks than a stretched out 4 weeks was a conscious decision.
Do you you know, they always call it a daily heart attack, because you're constantly refreshing to see if anybody has contributed or pledged to do that. I mean, now that you've done this several times, Frank, do you limit the number of times you look at this kind of stuff during the day, or do you kind of have it on in the background, and when something happens, you can tell?
As far as the Kickstarter page?
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. You watch pot never boils, so you kind of just want to let it do its thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you don't if you don't push, if you don't, if you're not out there, if you're not active in it, it's it doesn't happen on its own. So it's a little bit of a balancing act.
Okay. How about you, Luke? I mean, are you going to be tempted to look at this all every once in a while to make sure that things are going well?
Oh, they drive me crazy. Yeah, I can't help it. I can't help it. I do get that horrible panicky feeling because you always get a bit in the middle for at least a few days when nothing happens. Mm-hmm. For example, the last one I did, we made the mistake of running it over Thanksgiving.
Oh. So
we had 2 or 3 days where just nothing happened. Oh. God, what have we done?
That's funny. So are you at this point, you know what the goal is going to be. How much are you guys looking for?
Our goal is going to be 700. Okay. Which would be enough to fund a nice print run. Again, it's in black and white, so our expenses for printing are going to be a lot cheaper than if it was a full color book. Yes. But hopefully we got a good day one, and I don't want to jinx this anything, but we're going to try to plan out some nice fun stretch goals depending on if and how quickly we hit that funding goal.
That'd be cool because you know, Luke can always draw stuff for you as far as those kind of things go.
Yeah, well, we got a couple artists that are involved in doing some pinups too, so it'd be a bunch of cool rewards.
Good. So it's 2 weeks, so we got to jump on board pretty quickly. This is going to post in the middle of the campaign, so you've got to make sure that you get out there today and help support this good stuff, because that's how these things happen. And I always like to say that Kickstarters make it possible for folks like you to tell stories that we may not get exposure to any other way. So for me, I'm always happy about it. Yeah, it's tough. When you're in the middle of it, every day is just, you know, is a strain. But when you get there, then it's a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm. It's all about that good day one. If you get a good day one, you can kind of sit back and relax. If you have a tough day one, you got to put in some work for the rest of the time. So we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So as far as... Well, at this point, you probably don't want to give away what stretch goals you have in mind. You got to make the goal first. So we'll have to wait and do on that. So, well, why don't we talk about what other projects you've got going on? Frank, you've talked a little bit about you're working with other, possible doing other Modern Testament crossover stuff. Any other things that you're working on that we should be aware of?
Any other things right now in the pipeline? I mean, I have a novel that's under contract that's going to be released soon. It's a science fiction novel. It should be sometime this year, not exactly sure when. And I have a couple different comics that have been put together that I'm going to be putting some pitches together, showing out to some publishers, and nothing real in the forefront.
What was it different to write a novel as opposed to working with a comics? Because comics, you write a script and somebody draws pages and you get to see them. When you're doing a novel, you're completely dependent on your words. So was that, I mean, some people find that a hard transition. How did you feel about that?
I mean, I wouldn't say transitioning from one to the other is difficult, but it's definitely a different headspace, a different mindset. Because you can get a little lazy with comics because you're relying a lot on your artists to do their thing, because nobody really sees the script. So you're like, yeah, if I have a typo here, a typo there, this doesn't make sense, the artist will make it make sense. Mm-hmm. But with writing prose, it's a direct connection to your reader. So you really got to be on your game. You got to really make sure what you're doing is you can't rely on anybody else. It's all you.
We got to describe too. I mean, you can't just, you know, the artist makes those things happen, but you've got to say the so-and-so was so-and-so, her face was this, and all that kind of stuff. You've got to do a lot of the description. You've got to create a picture in people's mind with your words. So, yeah, that must have been kind of fun. But, you know, some people find that using their different muscles like that is a good thing.
I mean, it's different because, right, when you write in prose, when you're creating a narrative, creating a picture, it's a fluid picture. It's kind of like, it's almost like a movie. Somebody can imagine, when you say somebody walks across the room, you can imagine them walking across the room. Whereas comics is told in static images. You can't write in your script so-and-so walks across the room, because you're only going to have a single snapshot in time of somebody in the middle of walking across the room. You know, it's not the action itself. So you have to be really careful in how you pace the story as opposed to a novel.
So we'll keep our eye out for that. Now, next question, of course, is how do we keep up with your stuff? How do we find out when the novel's coming out? You know, if you have other projects, what's the best way to do that in social media?
Social media, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. My handle under there is Frank the Writer. I do have a Facebook page. I post a lot of updates on facebook.com/FrankMartinWriter. The absolute best way to get to stay in touch with everything I got going on my website, frankthewriter.com, I have a mailing list. You can sign up there. And, I'm all over the place.
Well, that's good. You know, people often say they hate the fact that they have to use social media because it takes up time from their creative stuff. But on the other hand, if you don't do it, nobody knows about it. So you've got to have a presence out on social media.
It's a necessary evil.
Yeah. Now, how about you, Luke? Are there other things that you're working on that we should be aware of?
Well, as I said, I've got the new Hollowgirl series I'm working on through Occult Press. I know you're familiar with the old series. Mm-hmm. I'd say this one's slightly different in that we've pushed more of the supernatural angle. Mm. In the original, I try to be ambiguous. This one, more demons, more ghosts. It's darker. It's more violent. It's kind of cranked up a notch from the last series. Mm. I've been pretty much given permission to say anything goes. So, and they're longer stories as well, so I could actually play like with 48 pages rather than 24-page comics. So, I don't know, they feel like mini movies to me, so I'm very happy with what we're doing.
Now, are you not doing individual issues? Are you doing like a little trade? Is that what's happening?
So they're little books, so there'll be four books in total. But I think we probably will collect it as a trade in the end. But at the moment, it's four books. The books are definitely worth getting because we've put lots of little extras and things in the back of them. So little notes on the art process, little essays I've written about where the ideas come from, character designs and that sort of thing. Hmm.
Now, I'm kind of interested because, you know, you say you're making some changes and stuff. Was this just kind of an evolution of your storytelling? Did the company give you latitude to do this? Is this something new? How did you decide to go, you know, take a different kind of spin on it?
Well, the publisher actually specified that he wanted something that pushed more the idea of ghosts and demons. He wanted it to be more of a supernatural thing. Mm-hmm. And I was actually quite happy because I wanted to shake things up. With Insane Comics, I'd written and illustrated 13 issues and had scripted up to about issue 20. Mm. But after issue 10, it all folded. Mm. I'm just going to scrap everything and start something completely different. And it works because it means that new readers can just grab the new stuff and not feel like they've missed anything. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a reboot, but not quite. It sort of works as either a reboot or a sequel, depending on whether you're an old reader or a new reader.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. So there are stories that you wrote or that created that have never seen the light of day?
That's correct, yeah. There's a couple that I've turned into short stories that may get put into an anthology later. Mm. And there's one where I've rewritten it quite heavily. And it's sort of, actually, it's a mixture of about three or four story arcs that I wanted to do. And I've kind of mixed them together to create one new, very insane story, which is the book that's probably going to go on a Kickstarter within a month or so, or maybe within this month. I'm not sure what the itinerary is for that yet. I leave that up to the publisher.
Okay.
But yeah.
See, we need to know how to keep up with you, just like we did with Frank. How do we follow you on social media or keep up with your stuff?
Well, I'm old school. I'm still mainly on Facebook. I actually have a Hollowgirl page. Mm-hmm. On there. I've just named it Hollowgirl, The Art of Luke Cooper, so it's easy to find. I also post stuff through the Occult Press Facebook page as well. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter under LMJ Cooper. That's Luke Michael John Cooper, LMJ Cooper. And now you know my full embarrassing name.
Okay, so is Hollowgirl a thing you're going to kind of focus on? Because Frank here is doing a novel, which is, sounds like it's something different. Are you going to stick with Hollowgirl for now, or do you have other projects in mind?
Well, I've got these four books to finish, and then I'm taking a break. Mm-hmm. As to what I'm going to do during that break, I have no idea. I mean, I've still got lots of ideas for Hollow Girl. It's one of those characters that, because it can be a horror story or an adventure story or an action story, she just seems to be a character who lends herself to any situation. So really, I've not felt like I've needed to do anything else because the character is so adaptable. Mm-hmm. I did start a novel before. Maybe I will go back to it. Mm-hmm. About halfway finished, and then I got sidetracked. So maybe it's something I'll revisit over the summer.
Is it a horror horror book or a not? Because Frank's doing sci-fi. What were you thinking? What were you doing?
Well, it was kind of in that Neil Gaiman sort of area, being still scary, but for younger readers. So it's not really like the kind of thing I usually do.
Because that's kind of, isn't that difficult ground? I mean, you know, if you're trying to scare younger readers, some folks don't take to that very well. I mean, that requires a lot of skill in my mind.
But that's why I've not finished it yet. I keep going back and rewriting chunks of it and try to figure out, is that too much?
Because in this era, if you try to scare children and stuff like that, you're in, or even young adults and stuff like that, you're kind of in trouble. So it's usually they want things horror, particularly to be, you know, for adults. Even though they'll have children in it, it's not aimed at children. But, yeah, that'd be a challenge, I have to say. I'm sure you're up to it. But, I think that's, of course, your occult press folks might like that.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, of course, when you look at old fairy tales, they are essentially horror stories for children. I mean, Little Red Riding Hood is a horror story, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the beginnings of these children's stories, they are generally quite horrific. I mean, I think we have different sensibilities now, but I don't know. I still think if you look at shows aimed at younger viewers, you will be surprised by what people get away with in there.
Interesting. So, well, sometime be fun to see that come out and see what you have in mind for these kinds of things, because you have a very creative mind particularly when it comes to the supernatural and horror and things like that. It'd be fun to see what that was about.
Well, I hope it comes to light one day.
That'd be good. Now, I haven't talked much about the book myself. I did want to throw in some thoughts on it. I didn't know which parts, Luke, you wrote and which parts that Frank wrote, because I didn't look at who did what. But I found the book to be really a very unified whole as far as, you know, Hollow Girl's involvement and the supernatural parts. It really all came together really, you know, nicely, because there are parts of it that startled me, parts of it that I enjoyed, and I had to laugh out loud at some of the things. But I really thought it was a well-done book. Even using black and white, I think, kind of helps in a way, because it makes the storytelling kind of the same in that regard. Even though the art on the third story is very different from the art on the second story, I thought the art matched the storytelling. So I really liked it, and I thought, Luke, your art kind of set the tone real well for that. So I thought this is a really great book. I really loved it. Of course, I've loved both of you guys' stuff before, so I'm not terribly surprised that I really enjoyed it. That's okay. Someday I'd love to see more of this kind of thing from you guys and do more. But, you know, it's up to you guys. You guys are the creators. You have to want to do it and be excited about it to do it. I got a kick out of the name, Hollow Testament. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of funny because it takes elements of both titles and puts it in there, you know, Hollow Girl and Modern Testament. I was thinking you don't want to use Modern Girl. That wouldn't work very well. So. Thank you guys chose the best thing for that. I like the color cover, which sets the tone, I think, real well, too. And you've got other, you know, little pin-ups and stuff in there, too, which I think are great. So in my mind, I think this is one of those great books. I think Halloween would just be ideal for this book. But you know what?
That was actually the plan. Mm-hmm. We started this a long time ago when Insane Comics was still around. So we were originally planning for an October, something along the lines of October. And of course, it didn't really turn out that way. So, but I was glad that it survived the Insane Comics cataclysm.
Yeah. I'm sorry to see the company go, to be honest, because I liked a lot of the stuff that the Insane did. And, it's show business, and sometimes the business part overwhelms the show. And, you know, whatever happened, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but I still miss Insane. I wish there was more could come along from it. But I'm glad you guys are keeping going, because I think you guys were two of the best things that they had. And it's nice to see you guys making good things happen like this. I think it's great. Now, the question is, okay, let's say somebody lives under a rock and they don't understand that the Kickstarter is going on, and it passes them by, and they want to get a copy of Hollow Testament. What's the best way to do that?
After the campaign is over, and I piled it up, and I've sent it all up to Backwards, and I've received the books from the printer, it will eventually go up on my website, which you can find at franktherwriter.com.
Okay. And you do digital copies as well, or just a paper?
I haven't made the decision yet. I think we will. I'll talk to Luke about exactly what our plans should be. But if you mix out on the Kickstarter, it will definitely be available on some avenues.
Okay. That sounds good, because, you know, like I said, I loved the book. I thought it was great fun to read. I love a book. I've read comics for a long time. When something surprises me and startles me, I love that. And so this book did a good job of that, and I felt badly in some places, you know. I felt sympathy for the characters as well. So if you've got that, you know, that those elements involved, I really like that. And so I think Hollow Testament, I would highly encourage you to get out there and support the Kickstarter. Maybe if we get enough support, maybe we might get another one of the, maybe Hollow Testament 2 or something like that. That would be fun to have. But we can support Frank's and Luke's stuff until then. So I tell you guys, did a wonderful job on this. I can't wait to see your other stuff, because, you know, I love both of your guys' work. It's not always when you combine things that things work out as well as this one does. But it really is one of those great books that's fun to read and really surprises me along the way. I never knew what was going to happen next, which I always enjoy. So I think Hollow Testament is one of those great books that... I can't wait to get a copy of. I think it's going to be fun to have in my library stuff. So Luke, I think you did wonderful stuff on this, and I think Frank the same. And I just think it's going to be such a great book when people get a hold of it, and get it in their hands, and start to read it.
Appreciate that, Wayne. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne, as a man. I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but it's a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when we'll have more interviews and other good things. But until then, keep reading your comics.